Well, now let's go to God's Word in Genesis 31. And God's Word in Genesis 31, we'll be reading verses 1 through 55, the whole chapter. In Genesis 31, we'll be beginning in verse 1. God's people, these are the words of our God. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all his wealth." And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and said to them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks were streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, 'Jacob.' And I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family.' Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, 'Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it.' And Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He rose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.' So Laban overtook Jacob." Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me, and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?' And Jacob answered and said to Laban, 'Because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you.' For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you, I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was, and the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I have served you 14 years for your 2 daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Yagar Sahudatha, but Jacob called it Gilead. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore its name was called Gilead. Also Mitzpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." And Laban said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place. And those are God's words. After about 2 decades, 20 years with Jacob's uncle, it is now time in God's providence for Jacob to return to the land of Canaan. We see that through the Lord's providence, Jacob resolves to return through verse 16. The Lord called him to return back to the land. And then through verse 21, Jacob and his household leave secretly, Rachel with Laban's idols. And then Laban pursues Jacob. And through verse 42, what we see with those chapters that come before and with this passage, those marriages in which one must leave father and mother, and fathers and mothers need to let their children leave to their spouses. And we see the opposite of God's command here with Laban, at least it seems. And then through the end of the passage, we finally see Laban and Jacob come to an agreement by covenant, by a contract, that is, by promise between them. And Laban left Jacob going home. There are a few things that we are warned about in this passage. We are warned about and against idols, that we would destroy them and worship the Lord God alone in Christ Jesus according to His commands alone. We are reminded that those who are married must leave their father and mother and cling to their spouse. And we are called here to believe the promises. Jacob had to get back to Canaan because of God's promises. Because God had promised to fulfill His promises, and He is always faithful to His promises, even that he made to Abraham and to Isaac and here to Jacob. And so we must believe the promises as well, knowing that God will bring them about. And if it seems like his promises are going to be broken, our seeing what we see is wrong, and he will bring it about in his providence at the right time. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful as we consider the few marriages amongst our congregation that have happened in the past couple years and the year to come. We look forward to another marriage, and we are thankful for these. We pray that for us as parents and then as the children who are marrying or being married, Father, we ask that in all of it we would leave father and mother and cling to our wife, cling to our spouse, and our parents. The parents here would seek to leave and encourage that leaving to the children for the sake of your glory, that each marriage would show forth Christ and the church and Christ's love that he has for the bride and the church's love and submission and respect to Christ. Show that forth in all of our marriages, Father, even in our dealings with one another, even in the church. Father, further, we ask that you would grant to us a holiness, a faithfulness to you in worship, that we would turn aside from all of our false gods and idols that we prop up and create ourselves and invent, which is nothing new under the sun, but yet, Father, we still do it. And Father, even as your children, we do it. And so, Father, cause us in our hearts to see these idols that we've made of wealth or our household or things of this world, our work even. Father, we ask that even in our worship of you, where we bring in idols and we, as we've learned in Ecclesiastes, we bring in vanities, Father, and to your worship. Father, those are idols as well. And so, Father, keep us from them. Turn us from them if we've entered into them and taken part in them. And make us pure as your Son Jesus Christ is pure. And make us righteous as he is righteous. And Father, we also are thankful for your promises. We're thankful for the many promises that you have granted to us to know from your word, of your steadfast love, your covenant mercy that is forever, endures forever. And it's always towards us, that when we wake up in the morning, we see that your mercy is new every morning. It is new and glorious and towards us, your children. For we still have breath. We still love you. We still long to worship you and desire that. And so, Father, help us to see your promises, to see your mercy that is always faithful. And Father, as we do consider the many promises you have made, that the promises in Christ your Son in the gospel, that if we believe and we confess with our mouth, we turn from our sins unto your Son, Jesus Christ, we will be saved. For his name is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other way. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And so, Father, help us to trust your promises, that if we believe and we trust, that you will save us. You will not only justify us, but you'll adopt us and you'll sanctify us and you'll bring us and grant to us glorification in your Son by the Spirit. And we await that day when we will be glorified together with Christ, even as we suffer on this earth or endure affliction and persecution, even that which is to come before we draw our last breath, and for the church, which will endure great sufferings for many years. Father, we know that in each affliction, each persecution, you will glorify your children together with Christ. And so we are thankful for this. We're thankful for the promises that if we are your children, then you will work fruit in us You will grant to us love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And we could go on and on with all these fruits that your word describes and declares and promises to us. And we are thankful that you're the God who keeps your promises. And Father, we're thankful for those promises of the nations that will come unto you. We're thankful for the Jews and Gentiles coming in. And we think of those promises and we might step back and say that does not seem likely. There's no way that will happen. And yet, Father, we trust your promises that the gospel will go forth to all nations, that kings and rulers will bring gifts to Christ, your Son, who sits on the throne. And the whole world, the nations, will come professing faith in Christ. And we look forward to that day, even if it is after we have gone. And even our children are gone. And generations from now, we look forward to that. And we pray for it, that it would come at the right time, according to your promises, even if we've skewed and we've messed up understanding your promises. Bring your promises about. And bring the church to glory, your bride. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with us as a congregation. Give the elders and deacons especially, but all of us wisdom as it has to do with moving and the lease coming to an end in March. We ask that you would grant wisdom and blessing to us as we find a place, negotiate, and all these things. And then make the decisions that need to be made. We pray for the other congregations who are in a similar situation as us. We pray for the congregations in Dallas and Bryan, Texas, and ask that you would grant to them success in their looking and their even making their budgets and preparing for this, and the struggle that there might be within the congregation of differing views, even amongst us. And so, Father, help us to be of the same mind in those congregations as well. And then, Father, we ask that you would bless us, grow us in faith, grow us in sanctification, cleanse us of sin, for we have committed many sins against you, even this morning and in this day. And Father, how we have not honored you and esteemed you, but rather we have dishonored you and rather sought to honor ourselves and our selfishness and pride. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of not loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And forgive us, Father, also of not loving our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, we know that you are just and right to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, even as we have Jesus Christ, the advocate, he who is the righteous one, pleading for us. And so hear his pleas for us and respond yes and amen. Father, finally, we ask for your help. We ask for your help to keep us from error, to protect us from the evil one and false teaching and false humility and all the many false things that can come into worship. Give us right hearts and zealous hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.